Nishmas, Shem Tov ben Shmuel HaKohen, and to the Refuah Shleima of Shlomo Chizkiyahu ben Mamel, David ben Leah Freda, Chana Freda bas Basha, and Chana Dina bas Chava. They should all have a Refuah Shleima b'karov. And it's Erev Shabbos HaGadol, and it's Pesach is around the corner. And I wanted to just kind of share a couple of musings with you. And again, we're all kind of gotten a little habituated, I imagine, into this new Corona lifestyle. And I'll be honest with you, I have my ups and downs in a very real way. Sometimes I'm okay, I'm doing fine. And then sometimes I get depressed and down and like, you know, just, I don't know what the right word is, but in down mode and like, you know, how do we make sense of it? And this, it's depressing. You know, it is depressing not to have to, you know, today I had to, we ordered, we've been trying our best to order online food. And so we had a major big order of, you know, 2,500, 3,000 shekel order of food that was supposed to get delivered. And this was our Pesach shopping. They were supposed to get delivered on Tuesday. They said they're delivering between 7 and 10. One of my daughters is very careful about unpacking the stuff and doing all the things she's supposed to do. So she's waiting 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, nothing. She calls them up. There are no answers. 12. She says, they have come late in the past. Can I go to sleep? I said, let's wait another half hour. Nothing. We emailed them, we reached out, they said it'll come tomorrow between 6 and 10. I said, okay, we could deal with that. 6 o'clock, we wait, nothing. 7, nothing. 9, nothing. 10, nothing. 11, nothing. And then about 12 o'clock, we check out the website, and it says about our order in red letters, butal, canceled. So about 4 or 5 days before Yontif, and today was exciting. It's depressing, you know. You can't do things the normal way, and they had all good excuses, and people on quarantine, and some people sick, and they had to, you know, cut staff. I don't know, all good excuses, but it leaves for a very, very up and down, insecure, and obviously that many people are sick, unfortunately, and people are suffering in a lot of different ways. So. We try and plow forward. I don't think we should get too accustomed to this. It's not normal, and we should learn lessons from it. And I'm going to try and spend most of my time not talking about it, maybe at the end come back to it a little bit. I wanted to share with you, I'm not into Hasidic Svarim in general, but I opened up Nesiva Shalom this morning, and he has a piece on Shabbos HaGadol, and I was very taken. I was very taken by the piece. I thought it had a nice ideas, nice messages, and I'm going to start with that. The Gemara in Maseches Shabbos on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel tells us that Ilmale Shomru Yisrael es Shabsosai Eshnei Shabbatot, if the Jewish people kept just two Shabboses, so the Gemara tells us that Miyad Nigalu, we'd immediately have a Geula. Two Shabboses. And they also darshan that we have a notion of es shabsosai tishmoru, keep my two Shabboses, and that's all good. And we have a notion of zochar v'shomer, two aspects to Shabbos, and there's something about two Shabboses. So is that really true that you just keep two Shabboses and all of a sudden if the whole world does that, we're all good? So the Nesiva Shalom develops two other ideas. I'll be drush, but I think meaningful ideas. We have two Shabboses in our calendar that are very, very special Shabboses. One Shabbos is at the beginning of the year, right before Yom HaKippurim, and we call that Shabbos Shuva. And that is the Shabbos right before Yom Kippur, a Shabbos of Shuva, and it's a serious Shabbos. And then we have the Shabbos right before Chag HaPesach, Shabbos HaGadol. And the Nesiva Shalom writes that these two Shabboses are really paradigms of two formats of Avodas Hashem. The first format of Avodas Hashem is perhaps the more obvious one, and that's Shabbos Shuva, which is certainly an avoda that is getting us ready for Yom HaKippurim. We're in the middle of Aseres Yimei Tshuva. It's an avoda meira. It's an avoda of Yiras Shamayim. It's an avoda of Ema. It's an avoda, to use Shabbos language, of Shomer Es Yom HaShabbos. It's to Take watch, take guard, be careful, and live a relationship with Hashem of Eima V'Yira. The Shabbos before Pesach is a different kind of Shabbos. It's a Shabbos, and what Pesach is all about, no matter how we celebrate, but Pesach, the way Pesach, what Pesach is all about is it's our relationship of Ava with Hashem. Many people, certainly Sfardim, but others as well, have a minhag at the end of the Seder to say Shir HaShirim. We all have a minhag to lein Shir HaShirim on Shabbos Chol HaMoed, and the reason for that is because Shir HaShirim really represents the love relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael and Hashem, and Shir HaShirim is what permeates the Pesach experience. And what Pesach is really about is Avodas Hashem Me'ava. And perhaps, says in the Sivu Shalom, the idea that we refer to this Shabbos as Shabbos HaGadol versus Shabbos Shuvah is that Shabbos HaGadol is greater, is bigger, is more significant than Shabbos Shuvah. We might feel greater intensity Shabbos Shuvah time, but the notion of worshiping Hashem and a relationship with Hashem that is built on Ahava is perhaps more profound, more deep, more significant than an Avodah of Yira. And therefore, the idea number one of Ilmale Shom Yisrael, Shtei Shabbatot, Miyad Nigalin, if we kept two Shabboses, if we lived a life that is a life of Yiras Hashem and had a Shabbos Shuvah stance together, coupled with a Shabbos Haggadah stance, with a stance of Avodah Me'ava, and we combine those two aspects, that really is a key to Geula. That's idea number one that is suggested by the Nesivah Shalom. Idea number two, he says, another way that two Shabboses, that we have these two spans of Shabbos, these two aspects of Shabbos, Shnei Bechinos of Shabbos, he argues that when it comes to Shabbos Kodesh, we refer to Shabbos in two ways. On the one hand, it's Yom HaShvi'i, and on the other hand, it's Shabbos. And if you take a look at the Chumash and you read Chumash carefully, up until you get to Yetzias Mitzrayim, again, primarily in the beginning, the creation story, Shabbos is always referred to as Yom HaShvi'i. For example, Psukim that you're very familiar with, Kisheshes Yamim Asa Hashem Es Hashmayim Ves Haaretz, Uvayom HaShvi'i Shavas Vayinafash. Hashem rests on Yom HaShvi'i. In the early stages, in the Brias HaOlam, Shabbos is referred to as HaShvi'i, as the seventh day. And the seventh day is the climactic day. It's the day that climaxes the Brias HaOlam. And it's a day that I would even call Yom HaShvi'i, means it's a universal day. It's a day that Goyim should tap into in the same exact way that Jews do, because that aspect of Shabbos is Zecher L'Maaseh Bereshit. It is to thank Hashem and to recognize Hashem as the Borei Olam. And as such, being the creator of the world, a Jew and a Gentile alike have that same connection to Hashem as the Borei Olam. But after Yetzias Mitzrayim, you find there's another Bechina of Shabbos. There's another aspect of Shabbos. And there, all of a sudden, it's no longer called Yom HaShvi'i. Now it's called, and for example, in Parshas Kisisa, again, after Yetzias Mitzrayim, Vishamru B'nei Yisrael es ha-Shabbos. It's referred to as Shabbos, and Shabbos is referred to as Os Hi Beini Uvein B'nei Yisrael Os Hi Le'olam. There's something unique, there's something profound, there's something special about the Shabbos Hashem Klal Yisrael relationship. It's well beyond the Brias HaOlam. Yetzias Mitzrayim is what forged the relationship between Knesset Yisrael and Hashem. It forged our bond to Hashem. It created us as a people, as if I could borrow an American term, one nation under God. That happened at Yetzias Mitzrayim. And in that sense, there's a very well-known Israeli poet, Achad Ha'am, who coined the following term, which is very, very accurate and very meaningful. He said that Yoter Shabbos Shomer Es Yisrael mi Yisrael Shomer Es HaShabbos, is that Shabbos keeps the Jew even more than the Jew keeps Shabbos. And the idea of Shabbos being the OC, and it's interesting that even the Goyim have adopted this idea of a day of rest, that one out of seven should be a day of rest. But it's interesting, the Christians, they took on Sunday, the Muslims, they took on Friday. The one day that's like the unique province of Knesset Yisrael and Hashem, the Os Hi Beini Uvein B'nei Yisrael, that is Shabbos. No coincidence that Goy Sheshavas is Chayv Misa. For a Goy to encroach, to trespass, that unique relationship that we have with Hashem on our Shabbos, that would be Chayv Misa. So a Goy has a Shabbos. His Shabbos, though, is classified as the Yom HaShvi, the unique Shabbos that is really started at Mara, which is right after Yetzias Mitzrayim. That is unique to Knesset Yisrael. And interesting that the Torah itself refers to Chag HaPesach. When it comes to the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, we are told, count Sfiras HaOmer, usfartem lachem mimocharas HaShabbos. And Chazal understand when it says mimocharas HaShabbos, it doesn't mean Shabbos, the seventh day of the week. It means mimocharas HaShabbos is Pesach, is the first day of Pesach. And then mimocharas, we start counting Sfira on the very next day. So what emerges is that there are also two bechinos to Shabbos. There's a bechina of Yom HaShvi, which is universal, which recognizes Hashem as the Borei Olam. And there's the second aspect, which is the unique relationship that Hashem has with us, with His people. And Shabbos HaGadol, which is the Shabbos right before Pesach, right before Yetzias Mitzrayim, where Chazal tells us that's when we took, right then, Yud Nisan, we take the Korban Pesach. We're literally on the heels of it. That's when we are forging our love relationship with Hashem, our Shir HaShir relationship with Hashem. That's this Shabbos HaGadol that we're about to, in a very unique way, Bez Hashem, celebrate. But its significance should not be lost upon us, the idea of V'shamru B'nei Yisrael, Osi B'nei Yivein B'nei Yisrael, that bond with Hashem never gets lost. And it's no coincidence that when we speak, we want to know if someone's from, if he's part of the Torah community, we ask always, is he Shomer Shabbos? That's kind of the litmus test, because that really represents, Shabbos is that Osi B'nei Yivein B'nei Yisrael, and that's that unique relationship. That's the two bechinos. Perhaps that's also the two Shabboses that bring about the Geula. That if, when the world recognizes that Hashem is the Borei Olam, and they recognize that, and again, I think there's always a greater and greater hakara of that idea. The more things are going topsy-turvy, the recognition that there is something more powerful, bigger than ourselves, that is running the world. When the world understands Hashem is the Borei, and Klal Yisrael understands that our unique relationship with Hashem, and how Shabbos really cements that, and Pesach, which is the Mimochas HaShabbos, cements that, perhaps that becomes a Geula that's made the Geula La'olam. I had the opportunity today to do a little reading, very little, but a little, and I came across, I have a sefer here called Shi'urei HaRav, and it's different collections of synopses of the Shi'urim of Rav Soloveitchik. And he has here just a description of the Rav describing his emotional relationship with the Pesach Seder. And I just want to read you a passage. He says, he describes a lecture that he gave in 1969. And he says, I'm going to quote a few lines of it, but he writes, as a child, I vividly sensed the presence of God on two different occasions, on the night of Kol Nidre and at the Seder on the first two nights of Pesach. So the Rav describes that he felt Hashem, Kol Nidre. I think we can understand that idea of the Shabbos of Shuva, the Ema, yeah, but also at the Seder. And he writes over here, the Seder is the prototype of the Suda, and the halacha has developed an ethic and an etiquette concerning the Suda. Because in general, he says, eating is a physiological function. It's instinctive and it's mechanical. Similar to the beast, insect, and plant, any organism has to eat. And philosophers describe eating as a disgraceful must. It's a necessary evil that we all have to engage in. And many great men, he writes, and this is actually brought down in Shulchan Aruch, would not eat in public. Judaism, however, arrived at a different conclusion. Although eating is a biological necessity, man and beast do not eat in a similar fashion. Judaism has redeemed eating from a coercive process into something meaningful and deliberate. And he writes that there are two distinctions between a human eating and a beast's eating. Number one, the beast eats alone, unaware of his neighbor. And if you notice animals, they actually will grab the food and take it to some private location so they can keep it all for themselves. And the beast cannot withdraw from its prey and retreat. A beast cannot say, like, I had enough, I'm full, I'm pulling away. They eat until it is finished. And he writes, in the approach of the Western world, man was not permitted to eat alone, since by nature, man is a social being searching for companionship. The humanization of the eating process by modern man was realized by presenting the meal as a social process, thereby developing table manners and various refinements. Eating is associated with aesthetics. Whatever is beautiful is good, since beauty is a cathartic agent. Eating is seen as like we want nice presentation, we want it to taste good, we want it to look good. That's what he writes. And he says, eating sometimes for modern man, for Western man, and he's critical of this, sometimes hypnotizes man. It takes away his freedom. It robs him of his dignity. And if he says, Adam succumbed to the beauty of the tree and fell before it. The Dor HaMidbar, in the Kivros HaTava, in wanting meat, they succumbed to the beauty of meat and food, and it became bestial in nature. He was inspired by the Seder because the Seder somehow elevated everything. And he writes in greater detail that to redeem eating, to make it redemptive, it has to have two qualities. And he develops, again, I'm not going to read it all, but he develops two ideas. And I think, again, as I was reading this today, I had to think about how I'm going to apply this to us. But he speaks about two movements that are discussed in Kabbalah and that maybe permeate some aspect of how we approach meals and seudos. If you think back to your days in Eretz Yisrael, perhaps you had a Papa Gaios experience in your life. And that experience is, I would call it, the exact opposite of a redemptive eating experience. It is bestial to the core. It is meat upon meat upon meat, gorging, and it is the antithesis of what Yah sees the eating, the redemptive process of eating about. It is bestial. It is, I can't withdraw. I want more. I'm going to get my money's worth. I'm going to consume until it's absolutely finished, until I'm sick to my stomach, until it is almost about to regurgitate out of my gastronomic system. And that is not redemptive. He says in Kabbalah, we have two movements. There's a movement of chesed where we are looking away from ourselves. It's a movement away from oneself of giving, of sharing, of giving to others, and then of his what he calls hitpashtut, where I'm expanding myself to others. And then there is another midah, which he calls the midah of gvura. And the midah of gvura means you have to pull back, you have to retreat, you have to walk away. The animal's eating. The bestial eating is defined by a failure of both. Of it fails in chesed because it's just taking, it's not giving, it's not sharing. The animal just forages and pulls it to himself. And there's no gvura because gvura demands withdrawal, demands pulling back, demands I'm gonna say enough is enough. I've had enough and I'm going to stop. He says the Seder is really, ideally, is really representative of these positive midos of Jewish eating, of redemptive eating, of lending significance to the food. And Mirtzah Hashem will all have a Seder, a beautiful Seder. And the Seder, if you think about it, is totally surrounded by achila. You know, we open up the Seder, we're drinking four cups of wine, and most of us, by the time we're at our fourth cup, we're a little tipsy. We've definitely loosened up a little bit. I don't know, lamb, lion, somewhere in that spectrum, but there's a lot of wine being consumed at the Seder. We're eating multiple kezesim of matzah at our Seder. We're consuming maror, we're consuming korech. There's a lot of food involved. We have our charoses on the table, it's all there. And then, of course, a suda. Forget, we haven't gotten to the suda. There's a lot of eating. But the goal of the eating and the message of the eating is a redemptive eating. And it's an eating that is elevating the Suda. It's sending us a message. Every achila that we have, every achilas mitzvah that we have at the Seder, whether it's the matzah or the maror, it's all about messages. Every achila. And it's the opposite of achila of, it's an achila of redemption, of geula. And ideally, again, we're all a little bit going to have smaller Siddharma, I imagine, this year. Perhaps the grandparents are not going to be with us this year. The grandkids, perhaps, are not going to be with us this year. The cousins, the aunts, the uncles, in its pristine Seder form, it's a Seder of total chesed, of giving, of sharing. We're sharing Divrei Torah. We're sharing, fathers are sharing with their sons, mothers sharing with their daughters. It's totally giving over. That's the message of the Seder, is to give, is to chesed, is to enhance the Mesorah. And the food is just that kind of the hechatimsa, the meal, the suda is the hechatimsa for that. It's also a meal of gvura, of, come chatzos, we're done eating. Like, it stops. We have the ability to stop and say we have mitzvahs to do. And that's a core and fundamental message that we should take home at the Seder. It's interesting, the Seder opens up with a very, very profound little Aramaic tefillah of Halach Ma'anya, where we figuratively open our doors and invite those called Dichvin Yesei V'Yechol, those who have not been able to find a Seder for themselves, come in, come join us. Join us in our Seder. I would posit to you that that means we're framing our Seder as a Seder of Chesed, as a Seder of giving, as a meal of involving people with us. And perhaps later on that night, we also open our doors. We'll open our doors a second time. And that's to bring in Eliyahu HaNavi, ultimately to bring in the Geula HaShlema, the ultimate redemption. And perhaps the way to bring about Eliyahu walking in the door is to really be able to open the door to others in the beginning of the Seder. The Seder of Chesed is what brings about the ultimate Geula. This year, as I mentioned, and in Israel, it's the talk of the town. Like every video coming out of Misrad HaBriyut is a 75-year-old Bubby and her 80-year-old husband, and basically telling us we can't come to your Seder and we shouldn't come to your Seder and don't invite us to our Seder because we want to celebrate many Seders with you in the future. So on some level, this is like stifling. We have to, it's ironic, but to me, it's like very, very powerful. Our gvura, to not have our siddurim with our grandparents, is the ultimate chesed. Our ability to withhold and not, hold ourselves back, hold them back, and do what's safe and do what's proper is the ultimate chesed. And that's an irony. Usually these two go in opposite directions, but I think that's what emerges from our situation that we find ourselves in. Sometimes chesed is gonna happen through closing the door this year. As ironic as that might be, as painful as that is, and it is painful and it's hard. But that's perhaps the avoda of this year's Seder. I want to just add one last idea, which to me is very, very meaningful, and that is that we have one of the themes of the Seder is matchilim b'gnus u'mesayimim b'shvach, is that the Seder story, there's a part of the mitzvah of the Seder is to tell the entire story. And the entire story means that it's a story that begins, machlokas Rav and Shmuel in the Gemara, either mitchila ovdei avodah zarah, hayu avoseinu, that we were, our origins were as of ovdei avodah zarah, Avram Avinu's father, Terach, Avram perhaps himself, was an Oved Avodah Zarah until he emerged. That's one Matchilim B'Gnus. The other Matchilim B'Gnus is, of course, Avodim Hayinu, L'Parah B'Mitzrayim. We were slaves, and we were impoverished. And that's part of the story. And then we go ahead and we tell the Nisim, and the Yeshuos, and the Gu, and the Simon B'Shvach. It's not sufficient just to tell the glory. To appreciate the glory, you have to go back to the other side of the story. And it's interesting, I mentioned all the foods that we have. Every single food that we have at the Seder, Lufyanius Daiti, is a dichotomy, reflects both the Gnus, the Avdus, and the Cherus in one. And every piece of food that we have really is reflecting that duality. I'll start with the most obvious. I think matzah is a very obvious one, but on the one end, matzah is called lechem oni. It's poor man's bread. It's the bread that didn't, that's that ma darko shel oni beprusa. We break the matzah because an oni only has a little piece, so we only have a partial piece. On the other hand, the matzah is also the lechem of cheres. It's what enabled us. We had to run out of Mitzrayim, b'chipazon. We didn't have time for the matzah to rise, and therefore it is this duality. Even karpas. Most of us, I have the minhag of having a green for karpas. That represents Chag HaAviv, a redemptive time. On the other hand, we dip in salt water, representing the merirus, the gnus, the yayin that we drink. So many have, everyone knows the Rambam is very famous for telling us in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Chametz Umatzah that the yayin that we drink is a beverage that should be a shtia areva. It's zecher lecheres. We should enjoy, we should get wine that we enjoy, not just the cheap stuff. We should get wine that's going to put us in a good mood. That's geschmack, a shtia areva, because wine is a beverage that represents freedom, that represents cheres. But many have the minhag to use red wine, because red wine represents the dam, and we will our finger into the wine to represent the dam that was spilt, and it has that facet as well. Charoses, that sweet tasting charoses. The Gemara tells us in Perek Arve Psachim there was two reasons, a number of reasons that we have charoses. One is zecher letit, to remind us of the mortar that we had to work back-breaking labor Mitzrayim. That was the avdus. But of course, it is also, the Gemara tells us, zecher letapuach. What tapuach? There was an apple tree in Mitzrayim. It was hidden away, a very, very lush apple tree. And when the Mitzrim decreed that Bnei Yisrael could not have no male children in the river, the women had to hide in order to have their babies, and they hid under this apple tree. And the apple tree was a symbol of the zchus noshim sitkanios, their mesiras nefesh, to continue having children, and really represent an aspect of the geula. You'll ask me a kasha. It's a good kasha. Maror. Maror does not have a duality. Maror is pure maror. It's pure matchilin bignus. And I'd agree with you. I would agree with you. Except I don't agree with you. The Gemara says that the most common use of maror is to use chasa, is to use chasa. Chasa is lettuce, romaine lettuce. But the Gemara says, why chasa? Because shechas HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Am Yisrael, that Hashem had mercy on the Jewish people. So even the maror has a schmeck. It's bitter, and you have to taste the bitterness. But even the maror has the fuel of the geula. That's inside the maror, shechas HaKadosh Baruch Hu al klal Yisrael. So that's this duality, matchilin bignus mesayim b'shvach. And I think the pshat, and the reason that the Haggadah emphasizes this is, A, perhaps, I've seen this written by others, is the Haggadah on some level is the story of Jewish history. And it is a real story of Jewish history. That's why we say v'hi sha'anda, because this is not a one-time event. It's a story that unfortunately repeats itself. Persecution and tzara and challenges. And then, of course, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileni miyadam. And this happens over and over again. We see it, in modern-day Israel, after the Korban of the Shoah, and then how somehow, miraculously, 75 years later, we are living, an Am Chorin, we're Ben Chorin in our own country. Who would have thought that? That's a modern day Yetzias Mitzrayim, and these things happen all the time. And somehow, when you're in the middle of the Avdus, when you're in the middle of the Gnus, when you're stuck in such a difficult and painful place, so you can't get out of it. But understand that within Maror, there is redemption. You understand within the Lechem Oni of the Matzah, there is redemption. Within the zecher letit of the charoses is the zecher letapuach. And within the blood of the yayin is the shtia areva of cherus. And I think as I contemplate and think about what life looks like for all of us right now, strange and it's off and it's unusual. But I can tell you this, and I say it with confidence, even though I get depressed and I get down and I have my ups and downs, and sometimes I deal better and sometimes I deal less better. But I can tell you, and I'll read to you, and I'll tell you the Gemara That is a beautiful, such a dear Gemara that you all know in Maseches Brachos on Daf Samach Amud Beis. But the famous Gemara about Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva is the one who teaches us, La'olam yehe adam ragil lomar kol da'avid rachmana letav'avid. Person should always be habituated and used to saying that whatever happens is letav'avid. And he tells the story of Rabbi Akiva that was traveling. And he gets to an inn, he needs to spend the night, and the innkeeper says, I don't have any rooms, no place for you. And Rabbi Akiva says, no worries, kol da'avid rachmana letav'avid. And he has with him a tarnegoles and a chamor and wine and a candle. And as the Gemara tells us, the wind blows out the candle, and a cat comes and eats the tarnegoles, and a lion comes and eat the chamor. He's got nothing left. He's got no place to sleep. He's got nothing to travel with. His food is gone. Everything. He's got nothing. He's got nothing. And his response, of course, is called the Ovid Rachmana Letav Ovid. Everything that Hashem does is for the good. And of course, the story ends that that inn didn't work out so well at that inn. Bandits came and killed everyone in the inn. And basically, they would have caught him as well if they heard the chicken making its noise, or they saw the candle, and or they heard the braying of the chamor, and ultimately the tzara that he experienced was ultimately brought about his redemption. And that's really the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim for sure, and that's the story of Jewish history for sure, and perhaps, and I'm sure, not perhaps, I'm sure that's the story of right now for sure too, is that we are all going through on some level or another, or and if we're not, we ought to be. What's Chazal tell us that Mitzrayim is the Kor HaBarzel. It's the pot that forges the iron, that makes people stronger. And somehow, some way, if we're taking whatever we're supposed to be taking from this matzah that we're in, is the goal here, I imagine, is for us to learn how to be stronger, to learn how to daven better b'yechidus, when we have to daven b'yechidus, to learn how to build a schedule for ourselves when the day is so wide open, to learn how to create spirituality when we don't have our normal institutions, to there's so many things to learn. There's so many messages that are being thrown out there, so many meaningful messages. And the biggest shame would be whenever this ends, be'ez Hashem, it should be b'karov mamish, but whenever it ends, is that we don't carry those lessons with us. And to be able to have a Pesach where we, again, might not be as big as it normally would be, but therefore perhaps it's less distractive, and therefore we can tap in different ways than we otherwise couldn't, and figure out how to make your Chol HaMoed into something more meaningful than it otherwise might be, and to figure out how to make your pre-Pesach helping around the house and with your families better than it otherwise might have been, and somehow emerge from our little Mitzrayim, our little contraction. We're in Min HaMeitzar. We're in this contracted place, this Mitzumtzum place, to use it, to learn from it, to be able to emerge as greater people, as greater individuals, as a greater klal, as a greater tzibur, as a greater world, and thereby understand that kol ma de'avid rachmana letav'avid, living redemptive lives, where our meals are redemptive, where our Shabbos is, every Shabbos is a Shabbos HaGadol, where we tap into all the messages that we need to tap into, and Be'ez Hashem, use this to become greater, better, and stronger. Have a wonderful Shabbos for those who I don't speak to before, and a fantastic Yontif, and we should all continue going Mechayil El
Yishkoyach.